All right. Well, it is a great honor and privilege to be able to welcome Pastor Larry to bring the word today. And we just want you both to know how much we love and appreciate you. And you are constant encouragement to us and such faithful laborers in the kingdom. And God bless you all. And God bless you, brother, in your bringing of the word. Amen.
You can go up there. Amen. Okay.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, if I really did what I want, I'd be up in the balcony talking. <you know>. Really, it's a privilege to be here, to be amongst family. And, you know, if it not for this church, this house of the Father, there probably wouldn't be a representation, except for the West Coast over there, of the Saints Network in the East Coast. So, you know, you have sown into us so much. And we are so grateful for that, because it opened up to us a whole new level of view of who God is and what He really wants for us and how we are to be with Him. And it's just, I'm just so grateful for that. And so I return the blessings to you. May He richly reward you for the rest that you are actively participating in this morning. And the handouts that you're receiving have that title, The Prize. We have to know what the prize is. You know, Les was talking this morning in Sunday school about how he has this regimen of training where he goes and trains really hard one day, and then the next day he just kind of pedals around the lake, you know, enjoying the birds and the scenery, just keep his legs active, and that's part of his training. And I was thinking of how awesome it would be, or how not awesome, but how terrible it would be, maybe, if he mixed up his days and got into the race and decided he just pedaled around the lake. Why are these people passing me? Like, you know, and so I'm glad for that lesson this morning, because it speaks to us about working the way God wants us to work. And that's a smart way to work, and it's not a hard work. So you could extrapolate a saying from that, say, work smart, not hard. And use what God's given you, and hear His voice and obey, and the work that's before you will be easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But we have to function in that rest, or we're going to have a heavy burden. You know, Israel, you know, they were under this terrible burden of trying to keep the law. And Paul talked about that, and he said, you know, I'm not here because I kept the law. I'm here because I am listening to the Father and doing what He has told me to do. So this has to be the mindset of all of us as saints, that we are going to hear the Father, and He is going to be giving us direction on how we are to move forward with Him. And if we're not aware of that, if we're not looking for that, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to be progressing. We're not going to be overcoming. We're going to find ourselves being tormented by the enemy in ways that God has delivered us from. So it's important for us to hear and obey what the Father is saying. And our obedience as sons, and as Brother Fowden so eloquently spoke, of the heart of our success on behalf of the kingdom of God. Our command is to push. And it doesn't, you know, we're not looking for progress on the mountain. We're looking for the progress in us. And so it's about God's training. And when we let our souls rule over our spirit, we're going to find it difficult to keep on keeping on. And we need something before us always to be headed for. You know, Jesus said, it's a bad thing when you put your hand to the plow and you turn around and look backwards all the time, because that furrow is not going to be straight. So we have to keep our eyes, and, you know, the phrase that has many adopt is keep your eyes on the prize, you know. But there's more to that than just where we're looking. So this morning, we're going to look at what that prize is, because that's going to be important. If you don't value the prize, you're not going to go for it. We need to value what the Father is doing so that we make sure that we are complying with what He is talking about when we are going forward. So the first scripture I have on your sheet there is Philippians 3, 9 through 14. Paul really is talking to this concept of knowing what the prize is. So he says, be found in Him. Now he's talking about himself here. He said, I'm being found in the Father, having not mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That law was a burden that could not be carried. The law was about boundaries to keep them safe, to keep them in the place where they would be ready to receive what God was about to bestow upon them. But it could not create righteousness. It was a tough work. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is about learning. It's about training. It's about growing. Verse 13, brethren, I could not myself to have apprehended this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, obviously, Paul is talking about the extent of the investment that he is making to win the prize. This is going to cost him everything. He is basically saying, everything I used to do to be righteous has no bearing anymore, has no function for me anymore. The only thing that's helping me now is my relationship with the Father. And so this word prize is talking about an award that's given by a determination of an umpire. In other words, it's not like, okay, gang, there is a $10 bill at the end of this row there, and when I say go, the first person that gets there, you know, grabs it, and that's theirs, right? No. This determination has to do with the fact that you're going to be judged how you performed with what you have been tasked to do. This is really interesting, because the thought is if I just mind my own business and I do what's expected, I should be congratulated for that. And so from this, you get people wondering, well, why do bad things happen to good people? And it all boils down to the fact that the definition of good is subjective. The only good is those who are in relationship with the Father, those who are hearing and obeying. Because just doing things won't get us anywhere. It is functioning in the training that we have been given to the fullest extent of our strength. And our strength is not our own. It comes from the Spirit. It's relationship with the Father to us. So this is a significant thing that is going to keep us focused in the places we need to be. So we've all come to this place where our faith is going to be known by the Father. He is looking at you and making an assessment of who you are and how you are functioning in what you have been given. And He is seeing how that is progressing in you, and He's going to be giving you more things that will promote you, that will cause you to be strengthened, that will cause you to see further than you are now, which will cause you to be able to take that responsibility. Much is given, there is much responsibility. And what is given to us has to be part of our training. We have to take it and make that application so it transforms who we are. You know, we've spoken over and over how we aren't always aware of how God is transforming us. But we have to know that it is going on. And so we are going to be faithful in our assignments, and knowing that in that assignment there is a strengthening that is taking place. We're just not expending ourselves and you know, say, you know, I'm so empty, I need some refill. We are becoming stronger. And as Les talked about this morning, that spiritual muscular is being torn so that it can be rebuilt. So these trials and tribulations that come to good people are really designed to build up in that tearing apart. It's causing us to say, what is really going on? What is the Lord doing? Why am I experiencing this? And to be face-to-face with the enemy is an experience that is meant to harden us, to strengthen us, to hone our skills. We have to be honed in an expert way. One of the training exercises in the martial arts has to do with fighting an invisible foe, and it's called a form. And in this form, you take all kinds of poses and use arm and leg strikes in the air as though there was somebody attacking you at that place. And so this form allows you to hone your stances and your skills and where your foot positions are supposed to be. So in the midst of your form, you'll stop and check and see how you're standing, if that's the right position that's going to facilitate the next move. It's interesting to watch, and I've had to watch a lot because I've been responsible for taking my grandkids down to the martial arts studio. And so anyway, they're thinking of giving me an honorary black belt because I've been there so long. But these exercises, and you can look at your life as an exercise in righteousness. Daily, you are required to do something God has called you to do that's going to strengthen your spirit. We know that James says, pray in the Spirit. This will strengthen your holy faith. It is that point where you are experiencing that trauma to your spiritual musculature that is allowing for a building up line upon line. And so we need to be excited about our training. You know, Monica was saying, you know, I'm sensing that already the enemy is, you know, closing in. He wants to stop some of this stuff. Yay. That means we're doing the right thing. That means we've got training that's going to produce in us something that is more powerful than the enemy has ever encountered before from us, and is going to find himself overcome. Right. Amen. We can shout to God for that one. So, it is an official recognition by God of where you're standing in your progress. And in that place, he has labeled you as a victor. And in that victory, he says, okay, now you're ready to run another contest. You're ready to go forward again. And this is exciting. Amen. This suffering is about participating in the assignment of Jesus our Lord, and the prize is our recognition in the spirit realm as the ones whom God has chosen for this time and this place. Our scripture says that God recognizes us in Christ Jesus. It is how that mindset has become the way we think on a daily basis. So then in 1 Corinthians, Paul again talks. What's interesting is that these two verses that we're reading are the only places where this concept of the prize is mentioned as a prize. Now, it comes out in other ways, but the word prize is only here in these two verses. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And there's our word. So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mystery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. So, every contestant in a contest, in a race, is going to run like they're going to win the prize. And he's not saying, okay, only one of you out of this whole congregation is going to get the prize. You know, who's it going to be? On your mark. Now, he is talking about the intensity of our exertion. Every single one is going to be running as though that prize is there. They're going to pull out all the stops. They're going to run like something's chasing them. They're going to go with all their training. And they're not going to be in that second day back off pedaling around with ease. They're going to be going for it. We have to be going for it. We are going to be investing all that God has given to us to this point. Whoever you are, however you have come to this point, you are in the race. And God is expecting you, and he will be judging you. He will be looking and assessing how it is that you're moving forward, so that there will be a strengthening upon you. And we are giving all we are so that what we have is being evaluated by God. If we're not using it, it's not going to be brought into play. And he will cause something to come to us that will bring that or reinstate something that maybe we forgot or that we've gotten tired of, or that we have set aside, and we're not really in that point anymore of participation with the Father. And he's saying, look, you can't go ahead. You can't get stronger unless you reestablish this. Now, he's assessed your race. He's looked and see how you're running, and he has given you a prize, which is the next step in your development. So this prize is identified as an incorruptible crown. Now, it was identified in the other verse as the high calling of God. And so we have the high calling of God and the incorruptible crown, and this is the concept of the prize. And I thought it was great that the logo of this congregation, this house, has a stained glass window with a crown on it. And I believe it's that one in the far right. And that's just an awesome thing, because that speaks of the prize that is being given to this house as it moves forward in the work that has been given to them, and we are experiencing the benefit of by their faithfulness. And I'm just so thankful for this. And this prize is a crown. And this crown is given in recognition of the application of discipline. It is given in the application of skill and in recognition by the Father of those who are faithful. Those two passages that we have just read were, of course, written by Paul, and so you'd expect him to have that same thread in his teaching. And it is significant that he is saying it's a process. It's a thing that we have to move forward in, because God is the one who's recognizing us. So we're looking at the crown as the prize. We're looking at the high calling as the prize. This is what's set before us. And this high calling has to do with our assignment. And the crown has to do with our authority. Brother Les mentioned just the gem of the diadem. That's that crown that he was talking about. Proverbs 4, 7 through 10. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Obviously, this is Solomon, speaking to his sons, his children's, all you chillins. And he is talking about wisdom, which is the ornament of grace. So we have this word of sound advice that we need to be seeking wisdom. The word crown in Hebrew is the word adoeira, something like that. You're not going to have a test on this where you have to pronounce it later on. See, she is take it as Hebrew, and you go, okay, that's a good word. But it speaks of something that encircles the heart, encircles the head, encircles the work of the individual, It is used to describe an attribute or a form of protection. When you have wisdom, when you have an understanding, then what lies before you becomes simplified. The way to overcome becomes obvious. There's been lots of times, I'm sure I've talked to Scott on this too, where when you have a project before you and you're really not sure how it's to be done, it just looms there like a nemesis and dares you to even try. And so instead of just taking care of it and getting it done, you kind of put it off. You know, you say, I'm not ready to try that yet. And the funny thing is that when you finally say, okay, I'm going to take care of it, you go, well, that was easy. But it's not knowing. It's not having the wisdom. It's not having the understanding of how things are supposed to work that causes this dilemma in our hearts that says, I don't feel confident. I feel too vulnerable. I feel like I'm going to fail. We need to realize that when we are partnering with the Father, we will not fail. We go forward with His strength and not ours. We will not fail. It may not look like we thought it was going to look, but it won't be a failure. So really, when we're talking about what Paul was saying here, or Solomon, excuse me, was saying here, he is really talking about this concept of the rest. If you are functioning in the wisdom and understanding, there's going to be rest. There's not going to be this agitation. There's not going to be this a fear. There's going to be this confidence. There's going to be this easy motion that accomplishes what you have been called to do. So wisdom we know to be the practical application of the revealed will of God. And it comes through our partnership through Jesus Christ and the Spirit. So when we declare what the Father has revealed, we are really releasing His power. We are setting the stage for victory. We are being able to stand with the confidence and understanding of what God's doing. And so, therefore, what we do is rest. And so, this rest that Paul, that we've been talking about, that Paul called for to reach the prize, to gain the prize, and what Solomon said, is essential for establishing the purpose of the Father. If we're not doing this, if we're not investing everything we are, if we're not taking what we have been given and making that application, we're inactive. We're not resting. So, let's look at what Isaiah says about the crown. Chapter 28, verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. Isaiah is comparing the crown of the pride of Ephraim because they had gone off the track way, way far. And he is saying, you know, what you guys got is not going to work. The only crown that is available that works is from the Lord. The true crown of glory comes from the Lord. And what Ephraim was experiencing was coming from their pride, their fables, their idol worship, and they had no authority, they had no power. We have been given the authority and the responsibility to stand in the face of the enemy and to overcome, to know that there is going to be strength. There is going to be that ability to move with the ease of rest. Isaiah 8:2-3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. That's talking about us. And the royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy hand they laid any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. Okay? And thy land, Belala. For the Lord delighteth. That's just straight English. I'm not even trying to read the Hebrew there. Right. This pulpit is just about that far too low for my glasses, okay? Just, yeah. So when it's down there, I'm having to lean over a little bit, so, and that adds to my confusion. Hopefully it's not confusing you. All right. Let's see, where was I? Oh, Kafsibah and Baal, whatever they are. Baal. I say tomato. What do you say? Beulah. Is she here? Anyway. Okay, Beulah, just your message. Lord delights in you. And thy land shall be married, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Whew. Can you remember back when you were first married, how exciting that was? For some of you, it's closer than others. But this name, Kephzibah, literally says, my delight is in her. And the name Beulah says, to be master. So here is the sense of what's going on here. They reflect the delight of the Lord in us as we put our hand in his hand in this relationship that is as a married couple. And this prize or the crown is in that relationship with the Father as in rejoicing, the rejoicing of newlyweds. And I can remember the pure joy I had in my heart when I looked up the aisle and saw my bride coming down. It was just an amazing thing. There's no words to describe it. There's just no words. My father, he did the wedding for my sister, and I had the privilege of taking her down the aisle. And when she came out of the bridal room, her joy was of such magnitude that her eyes were as saucers. I mean, she was just like, you know, that's, you know. And so there's this joy, that this concept, the relationship of the newlyweds, is speaking about how the Lord feels about you. He sees you as you are moving forward, and you are crowned with the prize. And he is seeing that, and that just brings an exuberance to him, and it is our strength. It is the foundation of our relationship. And so truly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Truly, the joy of the Lord is the foundation upon which we move and gain the prize. Isaiah 63, 5 and 6. Yeah, I went to look at my watch, and it's way up here on my arm, and I didn't even see it. Where'd it go? Okay. It's good we got 5 minutes. And Isaiah said, "And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and thy fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth." This is God, Isaiah is speaking what God is saying to him, and this is how God is viewing the people of this earth. He is looking for us to uphold him. This word uphold is the word shemach, which means to stand or lay determinately on behalf of a need or worthy cause. In other words, we are going to give all we are. We're not going to hold back. We're going to put ourselves in that place where we will be in effect. God saw that none were there to help. And so he brought in his only son. I was using this verse because it describes the responsibilities of those who are receiving the crown. When we receive the crown or the prize, we stand determined to be what God needs to support the work that he's doing. This is who we have become. We are being converted so that we are being brought higher in our relationship with him as a husband and wife, newlyweds. So the Spirit is continually reminding us of our position as intercessors. We are the key part in God's end time plan. We need to realize that and remind ourselves of this. And this is our crown. This is our prize. This is our high calling. This is our protection. This is what fulfills what God has called us to be and to do. God is longing for us. He is looking for us to be in our assigned places of authority. He is looking for us to be fully engaged in the way he has designed things to function. So we're looking at what James said in the first chapter, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." In this context, after the perseverance of the temptation, God releases a greater measure of his authority to support what he's doing. God is not looking for spectators. He's looking for players. We have been given the prize. It is the high calling of the Father to function in the authority and the passion that Jesus demonstrated. Our high calling is to become like Christ. This prize is going to be our crown of glory and honor. This is what we will be judged with. We are participating in what God has ordained in his glory. And we are making ourselves conformed to the training and discipline of preparing ourselves to compete for this prize. In this, we are adding our understanding this morning. In this, we want to be built bit by bit, that the glory of God would be known to be in us. This prize is empowering. It has to do with a grace that is divinely given to us through our hearing and obeying. And in this, we can open the gates and the doors of heaven and manage them according to the ways of God and overcome what used to be there set up by the enemy. Amen. So this message this morning is to encourage you to use what you've been trained for to the purpose of the Father. And there's a crown of glory that has been given to you that identifies you not just to the enemy but to the Father himself as he sees you and knows you as his bride. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this encouraging word. I pray that it will speak to us in such a way that will cause us to experience the joy of newlyweds, to experience the joy of a focus on us with great passion from the Father. I declare this house to be a point of the diadem, the glory, and that the saints, as they move forward, represent the full authority of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.